Good morning, and thank you for joining our weekly industry call. Commissioner Hammond, who is now serving as our TDC chairman, was unable to join us today, but he does look forward to participating in future calls. As always, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your schedule to connect with us this week. First up on our agenda, I'd like to introduce Kirvin Snyder with FEMA. Kirvin is a private sector specialist, and he is now working in our area, and he has arranged for a number of his colleagues to join in on today's call to give you an overview of some of the services FEMA is offering to folks in our area. Kirvin, in order to speak, you will need to hit star 2 to unmute yourself, and I will allow you to introduce each member of your team at the appropriate time. Also, I want to let the folks on the call know that after each speaker, we'll ask for questions. That way you can get your questions answered by the person who has just spoken. So to make that a little bit easier, that's the way we'll handle it with the FEMA team. So Kirvin, can you hit star 2? We haven't heard your voice yet.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you all for allowing us to join in on your call today. As Cameron said, my name is Kirvin Snyder. I work in private sector, and what I do is I work with Chamber of Commerce and business organizations to have them paint a picture of what happens during a disaster, in this case, Ian, and I also share information with the contacts that I make on updated FEMA-related news. Today we have four speakers, and we will start first with individual assistants and Marcus Bryant. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Marcus Bryant. I'm with FEMA. I'm with the individual assistants. I first want to say I'm sorry for the disaster and all the effects that you have been affected by it, and we are here to assist. What happens is when there's a federally disaster, a federally declared disaster by the president, that allows everyone, the household who have been affected, to call in and register with FEMA. So as of right now, the deadline to register with FEMA is January the 12th. And what we suggest is you do is, if you have not registered at this moment, that if you know anyone who has not registered at this moment, that you have them and call and register, either by calling 1-800-621-3362 or 1-800-621-FEMA. We have another way to register by downloading the FEMA app. You can register that way, or you can also register by going to disasterassistance.gov. And we also have a way for you to register through what we call the Disaster Survivor Assistance Team. Now, what they do is they canvass the neighborhoods, and they go from door to door, checking to see if anyone had registered or need to update their registration or have any questions for their registration. For the DSA team, if they should have a vest or a shirt with FEMA logo, and they should all have identification with their ID with them, they should have their picture and FEMA logo and the chip on their ID to let you know that they're actually with FEMA. We ask that if you have not registered or you know someone who have not registered, that you have them to register. We assist with housing assistance, and that entails with home repair. We try to make sure that your home is safe and sanitary enough to live in. And we also assist with rental assistance. If your home is not safe enough to live in, we try to assist with rental assistance so that you can go somewhere else while you're making repairs to your home. We assist with transitional shelter assistance, that's hotel. So if you're eligible for that assistance, you're able to check into a hotel, and FEMA pays directly to the hotel to allow you to stay there until your home is safe enough to return. We also assist with other needs assistance, that's personal property. Personal property entails with clothes, furniture, appliances. We assist with transportation. We assist with medical, dental, and funeral assistance, and moving and storage. Now, I will say it's against the law for FEMA to duplicate benefits with anyone else or any kind of insurance company or any other agency. So if you have insurance, we suggest that you go ahead and put in your claim with your insurance and register with FEMA at the same time. And we can process them both at the same time. But what we need is information from your insurance company to see how they're planning to assist you. Since it's against the law to duplicate benefits, we want to make sure that we are not duplicating any benefits with anyone else. If we find you to be eligible for another program with the Small Business Administration, we ask that you go that route as well to complete their process. And once they make a decision, they'll refer you back to FEMA. And what happens is FEMA is a grant program, so we want to be like the last source, but we are here to assist. So if you have insurance, go through your insurance first. And if we find you eligible for the SBA, we suggest you go through the SBA process as well, and then FEMA. But at the same time, FEMA, we are here to assist to make sure we address your unmet needs. Now, as far as the decisions at this point, we've had decisions to go out. I suggest that you read the decision letters. The decision letters, it gives you a determination, but also after that, it gives you some information that you can possibly submit to overturn that decision that we've made. So if you don't understand the letter, just give us a call or drop by the nearest disaster recovery center, and they can help you understand the letter and let you know what we need from you so that we can get that overturned so we can help meet your unmet needs. Majority of the time, it's something as simple as submitting something for your identity or your proof of occupancy that you lived there at the time of the disaster or proof of ownership. But the letter, it should let you know what we need from you, and we will need you to appeal. An appeal letter is simply a letter stating why you disagree with the decision that we've made, and we are asking that you submit supporting documentation to support your appeal letter. So make sure you just sign and date that letter and submit it into us either through MAC, through fax, or upload it through your disaster assistance center, or just mail it in. But that information is at the bottom of that letter. So just make sure you read the entire letter. And if you have any questions outside of that, just give us a call or drop by your nearest disaster recovery center. And we have representatives there who can also help you understand that letter. What I would also suggest is if there's something going on with your situation, just give us a call and let us know and give us an update, because we don't know unless you let us know. So a lot of times we have applicants who register, and at the time of the registration, they felt their home was safe enough to live in. But after some time had passed, they realized that there are more damages than they thought was that occurred at the time of registration. So it's very important that you give us a call and give us an update on your situation so we can try to help with your unmet needs. With that being said, I open up for any possible questions.
Does anybody have any questions? You'll have to hit *2 to unmute yourself. Well, looks like there are no questions at this time, but we hope you guys will stay on the line just in case there's some questions at the end.
Okay, thank you, Marcus. Next, we have Tahita Mateen from the Small Business Administration. Tahita?
Hi, good morning. Just making sure that you all can hear me.
Can hear you.
Okay, thank you. My name is Tahita Mateen, Public Affairs Specialist with the Small Business Administration, SBA. And I just want to, you know, go over a couple things. We are here to support FEMA in the declaration. And SBA is here for homeowners, renters, business owners of any size. And those are the people who can apply for the low interest rate loan. Also nonprofit organizations and private organizations, churches, for example. For the loan amount, renters up to $40,000 for their personal belongings that they lost in Hurricane Ian. Homeowners up to $200,000 to repair and replace their real estate as well as that up to $40,000 for their personal belongings, to replace their personal belongings. And that includes automobiles as well. Business owners, if you have a small business and you're on the line, you can receive up to $2 million to help repair those damages and also for those working capital needs. SBA loans, you get up to 30 years to repay that low interest loan. So I know a lot of people get a little scared when they see the word loan, but just keep in mind that the interest rates are extremely low. You get up to that 30 years to repay that loan back. And SBA just announced a couple weeks ago that for those people who have SBA loans for Hurricane Ian, you will receive 0% interest for the first year and no payments for the first year. And that year starts from the date of your promissory note. So everybody doesn't get approved at the same time. So whatever date is on your promissory note, your loan and security agreement, that year is from that date. SBA loans can be used to repair and replace your home, relocation, refinance for those homeowners, and bridge the gap in insurance. As my federal partner Marcus just mentioned, SBA cannot, by law, we cannot duplicate benefits as well. So if your insurance deemed that your losses were the amount that they gave you, we can't give you anything on top of that because that's what they calculated your losses to be. The deadline for SBA to apply for physical damages is January 12th. For those business owners, you have until June 29th of 2023 to submit an application for those working capital losses. I do want to go over common reasons for denials really quickly. SBA has two common denials, and that's repayment ability and credit history. A lot of people are seeing even withdrawal emails, decline letters, that basically sometimes it's giving you time to submit that extra documentation. I've heard the other day, just an example, a survivor was declined because of repayment ability. She looked at her application and she saw that she put $200 with her salary instead of the true amount, and she also put six people were in her household. On her taxes, there's only one person, it's only her. So she got an automatic denial for repayment ability. So for those on the line, I want you to be aware, and if you know anyone, when they are submitting their SBA application and it says how many is in your household, I believe that's the question, my application is across the room. How many people are on your taxes? If it's three people, put three. If it's only you, put one. If it's four people, put four. So that question is basically how many people do you claim on your taxes? So a lot of people were having, you know, family stay with them. Throughout the hurricane, they had to come and, you know, sleep on a couch or get some shelter with their family. And the people, they are including those people. Do not include those people. They are not on your on your federal, your taxes. Also, keep updating SBA if your situation changes. When people completed the application, it may have been at the beginning of the declaration. Let's say, for instance, I saw this example again. We had a survivor decline due to repayment ability because he had three cars on his application. Those cars were paid out and they were damaged, but he received a denial. So he has to update SBA and say, hey, I no longer have three cars. They were damaged. Insurance paid them out. So my repayment ability, you know, I can pay them back because I'm not paying a car payment. So just keep in mind, just keep updating SBA. We may identify mistakes for you. SBA is available at all of the DRCs with FEMA. We do have standalone business recovery centers as well. You know, just stay in the process, keep fighting, keep working. We are here to assist you. through your recovery process. And that is it from the SBA. If you have any questions, I'm happy to help you out with those questions at this time. And I believe you have to hit star 2 so I can hear you.
Thank you for that reminder. Does anybody have any questions?
Hi, I have a question.
Super.
Okay. This is Lisa at Edison and Ford Winter Estates, but I have a personal question. So my insurance company still has not made a determination. They're apparently very speedy. Anyways, I do want to apply for an SBA loan, but I really have no idea how much to ask for because I have no idea what the insurance company is going to give me. Can you apply for what you think it's going to need to fix your house? And then if the insurance company comes through with money, then can you have the amount of the loan reduced for what you need, or how does that work?
An excellent question. So when you apply for a disaster recovery loan, you can't pick your amount. We do recommend that people don't wait for insurance. When your insurance comes through, we talk to the insurance system. We talk to each other. So let's say if your insurance has not settled, you don't want to wait on that. You want to go ahead and get in queue with your SBA loan. Whatever SBA says, okay, we can apply you for X amount of dollars. If insurance says, well, we're going to cover her for those losses for that same X amount of dollars, SBA will pull out of, they'll step back and say, well, insurance says they're going to cover you, we can't cover you. On the second part of your question, insurance, of course, you can tell SBA, well, I don't need this amount because, you know, they're going to cover this, even though it may not cover everything that they say it's going to cover or that amount of money. We're just going to, you know, fix it slowly. So yeah, absolutely. If SBA offers you $60,000, but you only need $20,000, you can say we don't need that $30,000. But as far as your insurance, we'll talk to that system and we won't duplicate those funds.
Well, I have a bit of a concern from the first part that you said. I would really be concerned about the SBA talking with the insurance company before the insurance company made a decision, because in dealing with them and with past claims, I'm very well aware of how they work with things. So I can see how they would say, oh, well, you already have this money, so now we're going to give you X amount. So, I mean, does the SBA necessarily have to talk with the insurance company before they make a decision?
Absolutely. You said before they make a decision. Here's how the process works. You're waiting on your insurance, right?
Right.
We recommend you go ahead and start the application process. You don't have to wait for them to settle. If you are in the process and let's say you are approved, SBA approved you for, I'm just going to put a round number out there, $10,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your insurance says, after SBA already approved you, your insurance approves you for $10,000, okay? They estimated your damages to be $10,000. So whatever your insurance estimates your damages to be and they pay you that, we cannot pay you that. Now, if they estimate your damages to be $50,000, they only give you $10,000, we can give you that $40,000.
Okay.
Does that make it a little
But I guess my concern is the SBA going to, as soon as I apply, is the SBA going to contact my insurance company?
I'm just saying, like, when you do get approved or you're going through the system, when you apply for SBA, you're going to have to know your insurance information. So we talk to those systems. If that money comes through to your insurance, I mean, from your insurance, SBA will be like, uh-oh, we got to step back. So we won't ever duplicate those benefits. But yes, when you are going through the system, if something comes through for your insurance, those systems will talk to make it simple. So we will not duplicate those benefits. It's against the law for us to do that.
Okay. So I mean, I guess my concern is I can see where this could potentially hurt people if they get an SBA loan, then the insurance company it could give you less money because
override,
they think
could override. You're right, absolutely. You're right. We get a lot of questions about that. And basically what I had to tell a survivor is you can fight your insurance for more. You were probably underinsured. You didn't have enough in that policy. But get a public adjuster. You can fight for more money for them. But by law, if your insurance company says, hey, survivor, we come out, we look at your home, we see $50,000 worth of damages. And you're like, this is clearly $80,000, right? So they give you $50,000 because that's what they deemed your losses to be in your policy. SBA approves you, right, for a certain amount. Let's say they approve you for that $1,000, right? We get the insurance. We can see that insurance paid you out what insurance deems you to be full and complete and repaired. We can't duplicate that funds. Now, if they gave you, if they said your debt were $80,000 and they gave you only $50,000, we can cover that $30,000. We can't cover what they say your policy is and what your damages are. We can't. We just can't do it. Because in our eyes, we say like, okay, insurance already made them whole. Now, it'll be up to you if you want, which I recommend, you know, in disasters, but it's up to you. It's up to you if you want to get a public adjuster, a lawyer to fight your insurance to make sure that they are paying you out the correct amount. But if they deem your losses to be a number and they give you that number, we can't give you over that number because they already told us that they made you whole. And I put that whole number around quotes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for answering that.
You're very welcome. And if you have additional questions, I can have the TDC give you my information and we can discuss further. But I do recommend to everyone on the call, don't wait for your insurance. Go ahead and submit your application. You do not want to wait until that January 12th or get close and you're in the queue and, you know, the loan officer says, okay, well, we need extra, you know, additional information. Then we have to get the taxes. So go ahead and get into the queue. There's no charge to apply. We won't ask you for any money to apply. So there's no harm in applying now. And then later on, if you don't need it, just say, don't need it.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Any other questions for SBA? Okay, thank you, Tahita. Next, we have Jeffrey Parker. Oh, sorry. Okay, well, next we have Jeffrey Parker from National Flood Insurance Plan. Jeffrey. Jeffrey, are you there? Hit star 2 to unmute.
I apologize, the first star 2 didn't go through. This is Jeffrey Parker, one of the subject matter experts with the National Flood Insurance Program. I am a FEMA employee, and I am deployed here to this Florida disaster. The flood insurance program is available to all Lee County residents for the fact that Lee County and all cities and jurisdictions within it are participating in the National Flood Insurance Program. So flood insurance is available to all renters, all businesses, all homes, and all condominium buildings. It comes in the amount for a building of a residential type property in a maximum amount of $250,000 coverage for that structure. There's also the option to add personal property coverage within a residential property up to $100,000. Now, if it happens to be a commercial property, the limit is $500,000 for the structure and up to $500,000 for the contents within that business. And then when it comes to the nature of a residential condominium building, that structure may be insured up to $250,000 per unit times the number of units that are in that structure. Now, flood insurance is a protection that is there and present 365 days of the year. And so what I mean by that is there are small flood events that may affect only a number of buildings, not a catastrophic event of this nature. And floods are covered when there have been two adjacent properties temporarily inundated by water from any source. So these could be flash floods from rain, could actually be in a business district, possibly a ruptured water main that surfaces above the street and then enters from the street then into businesses. That's just one of an example that's outside of the typical event we might think of for flood. And again, every property is vulnerable to flooding. Flooding can happen anywhere at any time. And when it comes to the heavy rainstorms or other type flood events, more than 40% of the NFIP's claims come from outside the high-risk flood areas. So these would be areas where you would typically not think you would have a concern because you might not see water. You might not be near a river or a lake or the Gulf of Mexico. That's why I refer to the flash flood events that become so common, especially in Florida and Lee County. If there is information needed about the flood insurance map and where people are in relationship to our low risk, medium risk, and high risk areas, because there are no flood risk zones. So in our mapping, we show that there is a low risk, moderate risk, and a high risk area. And if in need of some type of help relating to mapping, we have a public-facing service where people can go to Map Service Center, and its abbreviation is msc.fema.gov, where you literally, you just enter your address, and it will pull up the flood map and pin the address you had entered, showing you then where you are at within relationship to the map, and it'll identify either the high risk, medium risk, or low risk area. But again, all are vulnerable to flooding, which is why I pointed out that more than 40% of our annual claims are occurring in the low and moderate risk area, where the majority of people would never even imagine to buy flood insurance. So I would encourage everybody to contact a local insurance agent and ask them to give you a few quotes for your property. And what I mean by a few quotes is to make comparisons on how the annual price changes by the dollar amounts selected for the building or personal property, and then the dollar amounts selected for the deductibles. Each coverage building would have its separate deductible, and the contents would have its separate deductible. So contact your local insurance agent to require or request an information about the quote. And if you're seeking further information about publications or information to help educate you, you can go to floodsmart.gov as one of the sources of information about the National Flood Insurance Program, or also a source that I like, and it's very similar, and it's not just for insurance agents, but it is agents.floodsmart.gov. FEMA.gov. So these are sources that can help you better understand the nature of flood risk, because it is truly the number one most common natural disaster in the U.S., and it occurs with great frequency. And I will open up. Oh, just one point of note. I had made a few calculations about the amount of protection that is at force right now in Lee County through the National Flood Insurance Program. And it's quite a staggering number, but yet there are so many buildings not insured and protected, because we see that in this event, many people are seeking help from FEMA and the Small Business Administration for these loans because they were without flood insurance. But in force currently, we have a little over $31.5 billion of properties being protected by the National Flood Insurance Program. And again, that is a pretty significant amount of protection. And we would like to protect more so that they're not in a position of having difficulty in their recovery after flood, whether it be small or large. And I'll open up now to questions.
Any questions for about flood insurance program?
Thank you all for allowing me to have an opportunity to speak, and please have a great day.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Finally, we have Tim Russo, who's also with the National Flood Insurance Program in regards to mitigation and floodplains. Tim? Tim, are you with us? Star 2 to unmute. Okay, maybe Tim couldn't join us this morning. I apologize. Thank you all for taking the time to speak with us. I would like to just say in closing that one of the things private sector does is it provides updates via email with new happenings with FEMA and its partners. I know the Bureau is currently receiving that information. If you would like to receive it directly, just reach out to Tamara and she will be able to pass me your contact information. And thank you.
Kirvin and the rest of the team, thank you so much for joining the call today. I really appreciate it. I'm going to do one more call for questions. Any questions? The folks from FEMA and SBA, I should say. All right. Well, with that, we'll shift to Jeff Mielke. Again, thank you, Kirvin. Jeff, you'll have to hit star 2 to unmute yourself, sir.
Thank you.
Take care. Tam, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Jeff.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Just a short update, and that is really that we're still plugging along. We've got a lot of sports events lined up for the early 2023 season. They are still very dependent upon hotel availability. I think our next big test is going to be MLK weekend with Perfect Game coming in. We do have a good number of youth soccer events lined up. We have all of the fantasy camps that the Red Sox, Twins, and private promoters have lined up at our ball fields are all in good shape. They're ready to go. And so, we're gearing up for our spring events, and then certainly spring training is right around the corner. And I think all indications are is that the teams are both expecting pretty healthy spring training. So if there are any questions for me, that's our report.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions for Jeff? All right, with that, if you have a question, happy to have you go ahead, but we'll move on to the VCB update. First, I want to let you know that we will be holding a call next week on December 22nd, but we will not hold the call on December 29th. I know several of you will be celebrating the holidays, and we'll just take the 29th off and restart these calls in the new year. A bit of an update on where we stand with hotel rooms. Yesterday, the Gasparilla Inn in Boca Grande opened. A portion of the rooms opened at Diamond Head this week, and the Residence Inn by Marriott, Fort Myers, Sanibel, that's the one along Summerlin on the way to the Sanibel Causeway, is reopening today. So with those recent openings, I'm pleased to share that we now have 64% of our hotel rooms reopened. So that news continues to improve, and you know, the team is you know, circling back with all the properties who have been out of service to this point, and checking in with them on the regular. So we appreciate you taking those calls and helping us stay informed. Our visitor services team is working on educational FAMs for our volunteers. Right now, Simone Bear and her staff are planning one for Correction State Park and Bonita Springs in January, but they would love to add more FAMs to their schedule. If you are interested in having the volunteers to your place of business, please contact Simone to arrange that. Just keep in mind, these FAMs are part of our volunteers' training, and they use the information they glean with the traveling public as they work at the information booths, both at RSW and at the spring training facilities, and when they serve at any conventions that we have in the area as an information source. So just know that having them out to your facility is a great way for them to know what you offer. In terms of the sales team, for this quarter, last quarter of the calendar year, they have sourced 140 RFPs so far, and 32 meetings have been booked. So they have been busy getting information out to our meetings properties and getting business booked into the community. This week, the communications team rolled out another podcast. This one features the holiday lighting unveil at the Boca Grande Lighthouse, along with interviews about conditions post-Hurricane Ian on Gasparilla Island. A new Road to Recovery video also debuts this week, featuring impressions photography. And for those of you who weren't able to listen in or join us at the TDC meeting, Brian Ososki shared our recovery campaign efforts and plans during that meeting, and I'd like to ask him just to give us a brief summary of what he shared with the TDC. And of course, the best part about having Brian on here is this gives you a chance to ask any questions you might have as well. So, Brian, remember you have to hit star 2 to unmute yourself, but we'd love to hear a little bit of a summary of what we have planned.
Thanks for the intro, Tam. A little sound check. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Brian. Hello. Brian, we can hear you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As Tam mentioned, I had the opportunity to present our recovery campaign plan for the TDC last week, and I'm going to do the best I can here with you today over the next 5 minutes or so without having the advantage of visual support. But basically, we prepared a marketing roadmap to help guide our decision-making through what we've identified as four phases of recovery, very similar to what we developed and presented during COVID. The first phase we're calling Hope and Resilience, which is basically taking place right now from the week following the storm all the way through this month of December. We've been providing destination status and projected reopening updates and maintaining top of mind awareness through some social media posts, but we've not yet been actively inviting visitors through our marketing. During this time, our transitional messaging has been "Our Spirit Remains," which you may have seen during the Fort Myers tip-off basketball tournament that was televised on FS1 at the end of last month. It's our reaction to adversity and not adversity itself that determines how our story will unfold. Parts of our landscape may look different right now, but it's clear that the way our area makes you feel hasn't changed because of the outpouring of love and support that we've received from around the world. What has defined us in the past still defines us today. With resilience and optimism, good days throughout Fort Myers Island beaches and neighborhoods are being restored. The second phase of recovery we're calling curiosity and admiration, which basically takes us from January after the holiday break through March or April as we turn our core marketing back on to provide travel solutions with product that we can market. We will begin driving awareness again, consideration, and most importantly, visitation to the destination for winter and spring. After seeing and hearing our messaging, we want travelers to feel like the destination is bouncing back very quickly. While things may not be normal just yet, there's definitely an opportunity to have an enjoyable experience. I feel confident in booking a vacation. That's how we want to make them feel. In phase three, we're calling excitement and anticipation. And we're anticipating this should pick up in April and take us through at least September of next year. And I do want to say that these dates, these are our best laid out plans today. This is what we're thinking is going to happen, what we're hoping is going to happen, but we'll make all of our decisions based on actual market conditions as we move through recovery. But picking up in April, take us through September, excitement and anticipation. Basically, we're ramping up our marketing more. We're encouraging travelers to explore the destination that they've come to know and love. And of course, we'll continue to increase consideration and the oh-so-important visitation. We want travelers to feel like the location is rebuilding and has even improved upon its prior condition in many ways. I feel confident in booking a vacation and am excited to see all of the new developments that have been made since rebuilding began. And then the final phase, confidence and desire. Beginning in the fall of next year and taking us into 2024 and beyond, of course, all tentative based on market conditions. It'll feel more like we're getting back to normal and we will get back to doing what we do best. That's inspiring and connecting travelers with all the reasons there are to visit. We want them to feel like this. The destination is back and better than ever. I am inspired by the resilience of the locals and am excited to support them while also having incredible experiences that satisfy my travel needs. So how do we get there? Our recovery campaign is simply called My Fort Myers. I'll read the positioning statement. While many travelers have a desire to visit or return to the greater Fort Myers area, their readiness to do so varies in the wake of Hurricane Ian. The My Fort Myers campaign will reignite their passion for the destination by tapping into the strong feelings that our area invokes. Personal testimonials from residents, visitors, and loyalists will speak to treasured experiences and the emotional connection they have with our island beaches and neighborhoods. In nearly every campaign that I've been part of, we have led with destination imagery front and center because it works. It's what people aspire to experience. It's where they want to be. But since so many areas of our community don't look quite the same right now, the My Fort Myers campaign has us leading with the people who make us who we are. Residents, our business owners, of course, domestic and international visitors. Internally, we've been calling these folks our recovery ambassadors, and we are capturing them in their element, where they like to be, doing what they like to do with imagery and film. And we're asking them to share their emotional connections that they have with our destination. Because, you know, no matter where you are, if you're here, you have a personal relationship with the greater Fort Myers area. And that's the beauty of this. Fort Myers means something different to everybody, but we all can claim ownership simply by completing the sentence, "My Fort Myers is," or "My Fort Myers makes me feel a certain way." In the example I shared with TDC, My Fort Myers is boating on Pine Island Sound. The smooth blue water and jumping dolphins remind me just how special this place can be. So out of the gate, we'll place digital display. We've got dedicated emails, pre-roll video, paid social, paid search for the leisure market, groups and meetings. We'll feature high impact print and digital display, and all these brand tactics will align with some impactful co-op opportunities that we're rolling out to partners after the first of the year. We had initially canceled co-op through the end of January, or at least put it all on pause. But after a partner survey, we've learned that there are folks out there ready to get back in the marketing game, and we want to make those opportunities available. So watch your inboxes for more information about the co-op program after the first of the year. And so in a nutshell, that is how we're approaching our marketing recovery campaign, and I'm glad at this time to answer any questions that anyone might have.
Anyone have any questions for Brian?
Star 2 to unmute.
Yeah, star 2.
I have a question about the hotels.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
So I'm really, really excited that more hotels are opening. That is fantastic. I have read that several of them still have a lot of displaced residents and workers and things like that. So do you have occupancy numbers, and do you have a list of the hotels that are open to tourists?
I do have occupancy information as provided by STAR. I think last week occupancy was 82.5% for context.
Okay.
I am not able to tell you whether those are tourists, locals, crews. That part, would be very difficult to track. I think, for about a month and a half or 2 months, there were, a lot of crews in those hotel rooms. Certainly some displaced residents. But I do think, as we go into the new year, that's going to be changing. And thus the intent of our, our recovery campaign. That's exactly why we're, on the cusp of launching that. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay. Well, do you have, a list of hotels that, for instance, if we know someone that wants to come here and stay, but they're saying that they're having a hard time finding a hotel, do you have a list of hotels that are definitely open to taking in tourists?
Yes, that's on our website, a list of which properties are open, yes.
Okay, so if they're on the website, they will accept tourists.
I mean, I can't.
I'm sorry,
I
have lots of difficult questions.
It is
today.
Impossible to answer that question. I can't tell their availability.
Okay.
The other easy way to do is have them, use one of the OTAs to search for available rooms.
Okay.
And then if they want to call them directly and not use the OTA, that's an option. But, as you can guess, that changes every single day. It would be impossible for us to track that for you.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Remember, star 2 to unmute yourself. Any questions for Brian? All right. Thank you for joining us. As I said, our next call will be our final call for 2022. It will be on Thursday, December 22nd at 9 a.m. using the same call and info as today. Thanks so much and have a great rest of your week.